good morning. Appreciate that. And they told me to try to keep this sermon under an hour and 30 minutes, so we should be good. You know, no? Okay. Why don't we all stand? I'm going to read. We're going to turn to Mark 1, 40 through 45. I just thought I'd let you stretch just for a second before we start. But Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45. Let's read it. And I think this will really fit in with what you were talking about earlier as far as this message. So the name of this title is Come and Be Cleansed, or the name of this sermon. And Mark 1, starting verse 40, and a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him, and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around, to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word this morning. Lord, we just pray that your spirit will open our hearts as we study the scripture, Lord, that you will give us understanding, give us ears to hear, and Lord, just that it'll penetrate our hearts, and Lord, that we will just reflect on the gospel, reflect on what you've done for us, and Lord, we thank you for the light fields and the ministry they're doing. We just pray that you will be with them as they're traveling in the States, and Lord, just bless them. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Y'all can be seated. But in this account of that we see here of this leper coming to Jesus and being cleansed, I just want to, we're going to focus on three things from it. I'm going to try to go through this pretty quick, but we're going to focus on three points. And really, how to come to Christ, how do we come to Christ, and what should we expect when we come to Christ? And then, how do we react after we've come to Christ and we've been cleansed? You see, in this, there is a great confusion, like Mr. Lightfield was talking about earlier. Am I saying that right, Lightfield? Okay. There is a lot of confusion in our day about this coming to Christ. Like you were talking about guys wanting to go out and evangelize in the streets. I mean, we are to evangelize, but you know, you think about how do we come to Christ? How does the non-believer come to Christ? And, you know, I think of things that I've grown up, if y'all think of any others, you can say it, but I think of things. I went to a tent revival recently at Painburn, and you see a lot of these evangelistic messages that are pretty good messages, but a lot of times there's a message, maybe ask Jesus into your heart or some kind of something given to someone to say, you know, if you go to a little kid and say, hey, do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to spend eternity in heaven, or do you want to go to hell? You know, what are they going to choose? You get these little short messages of what the gospel is, about what are we to do, about how we stand, and why do we even want? I mean, what, you know, when you hear a lot of gospel messages, it's like, come to Christ, accept Christ, he loves you. They'll even say he died for you, but there's no convince me of why do I need to come to Christ? What's the point, you know? And you hear evangelistic messages that way a lot of times, and a lot of times we're kind of, we've grown up in church and we've heard it over and over and over again. It almost gets to the point where you go, what's the point to this Christianity? I mean, what is the point to it? Why do I need to come to Christ? What difference does it make? I know God loves me. I know he died for me. But what difference does this make? But, you know, I listed several things. Ask Jesus into your heart. Do you want to go to heaven or hell? Whose side are you on? Are you on God's side or Satan's side? You know, do you want to be one of the good folks? You know, there's good folks that go to church, and then there's the bad folks out there in the world. Come be one of us, one of the good folks that goes to church. One of the, you know, we're cultural, you know, a lot of us are cultural Christians in this area. You know, it's like, all the good folks in society around Heber Springs, around Palmer, go to church. The good folks go to church, so come be part of us, you know. And you're like, why? You know, you guys have to get up on Sunday. I can go to the lake and be on the boat, you know. So what's the, okay. And besides, you don't act any different than we do, other than you have to get up on Sunday and go to church. So convince me of that. And you know, we may even say, hey, I want to raise my kids in church so they'll grow up to be good folks. You know, that's kind of, have you heard people say that? I don't really desire to go to church. I don't desire the things of God, but, man, I can't stand it, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to take my kids to church because I want them to be good folks. You know, I want them to grow up in church. So why do they want them to grow up in church? What's the point? But, you know, the things I've listed, there's not anything negatively wrong with each of those things. You know, they're not all wrong. There's little good points about each thing. But we want to look at this leper. Let's go back to verse 40. And the leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The first thing that we have to convince people of is their condition. We have to understand our condition. You know, we're like this leper. You know, leprosy in the Old Testament, it was a hideous condition. You know, have you seen, I started to do a PowerPoint presentation like John with a lot of pictures of lepers, but I decided not to. But actually, I don't know how to do a PowerPoint presentation. But anyway, but the leprosy, I did some reading on it, affects the nerves, the very inside of your nerves, and it actually makes your skin to where you can't feel. You can't really feel your skin, so you could bump it on stuff and you don't really feel it. And then your skin begins to rot. You know, you have sores, all kinds of open sores on your skin. So it's sort of like your very inner nerves are messed up and your external part of your body starts to rot. You know, you just picture this dying flesh, you know, a finger might fall off, you know, and you don't even feel it. But in the Old Testament, lepers, it's considered a... Do you need me, Daniel? Oh, okay. But lepers are considered, you know, it's unclean. They were considered unclean. It was really considered something almost like the leprosy was kind of considered the wrath of God against sin almost, because you have like Miriam and there's several other instances where leprosy was given to someone directly by God. They were given this disease and as a result of their sin. So leprosy really is a picture of the way we are as sinners. Leprosy like in Leviticus 13 and 14, there's a large part of the law that dealt with cleansing for leprosy. Think about leprosy. We heard Jesus has healed several diseases and he's cast out demons in the previous section. But you never hear of healing someone from leprosy. It's always they're cleansed from leprosy. All throughout the Old Testament, there's cleansing for leprosy. It's cleansing, it's not healing. So leprosy was really a picture of sin and the results of sin. It was always considered that it was given by God to people, and the only way that it could be removed is by a miraculous work of God. They had to be touched by God. So in Leviticus 13, 45 and 46, I'll just read this. As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean, when people approach him. He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So this leper was completely separated from the people outside the camp. Our condition, separated from Christ, is like that of a leper. This sin that we have boiling up inside of us separates us. We're outside the camp. We're separated from Christ. So our condition without Christ is like this leper. Let's go to Matthew. I'm just going to read these as we... You can turn there. Matthew 15, 18 through 19. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. And then I'm going to read this. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, And so death spread to all men because all sinned. So all men, death has been spread to all men because all men have sinned. So all men are just like this leper. We have this sin just boiling up from the deepest part of our soul, the recesses of our soul. It was spread to all men. We've all sinned. And so our flesh is showing the evidence of that sin in death. You know, death spread to all men. After Adam sinned, death spread to all men. So technically, we've got this sin boiling up deep inside of us. I mean, everything that we are, everything that we desire is sinful. And this sin is ultimately going to be, you know, you look at my skin, you can really tell since I turned 42, just the last couple of years, I've really noticed I'm decaying. You know, I'm noticing it. And look at, no, never mind. But you see what I mean? We are all, are we getting younger as we go along? Are we getting, some of you young kids are growing and maturing, but once you get to, I mean, you know, you get to a point where decaying, our flesh is decaying, and it's a result of our sin. So we're just like this leper. And let's look again at verse 40. And the leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you notice, see how the leper came to Jesus? He came to Jesus on his knees, bowing. He came to Jesus humbly. This leper understood his condition. He knew, I mean, he could look at his hands. He knew his condition. He knew that this condition was considered like a result of sin. He knew it. So he came to Jesus humbly, bowing, and says, notice what he said first. He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. But notice the you can. This leper, he completely trusted. He knew that Christ could cleanse him, didn't he? I mean, he said, you can make me clean. But he also said, if willing, if you will, God, you know, if you will, Jesus, you can make me clean. He didn't presume that Jesus owed it to him to make him clean. But he knew that he could make him clean. So you see this leper coming. He understands his state. He comes before God, comes before Jesus, begging him, you know, have mercy on me. He comes, he understands it. So we as believers, when we as non-believers or believers, either way, but when we can humbly come before Christ, understanding our condition, not presuming that he owes us anything, but submit to his will, believing that he can cleanse us, just like this leper did. Did the leper come to Christ by being obedient to the law? I mean, was he obedient when he came? Think about it. The leper was told to stay outside the gate. You know how I said it says that they're supposed to yell, unclean, unclean? By the law, he broke the law approaching Jesus. When he came up to Jesus, when he approached Jesus, he broke the law. So he did not come to Jesus being obedient. There was no obedience there. He was even excluded from keeping the law. He was outside the camp. He was kept outside the camp. So he had no way of even attempting to keep the law. So he knew that he was unclean, and there was no hope for him in even attempting to keep the law. His only hope was in approaching Christ, understanding his condition, begging for mercy. And we're in that same state. You're in that same state. When we're apart from Christ, Jesus explained at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, he explained the law, and he explained that even if we're angry at a brother, it's like we murdered him. So we are all lawbreakers. He explained that especially for you men, this is pertinent. If you lust after a woman in your heart, it's the same as committing adultery. We're all lawbreakers. He explained the law in a way that he was saying that no one keeps the law. We have all broken the law. And it was the perfect law of God. And then this same account is given right after Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount. He explains that he explains that we're all lawbreakers, and he explains that to be counted righteous according to the law, we have to be perfect, even as God in heaven is perfect. We have to keep the law completely. So what he's saying is there's no way we can do that. The only way we can approach Jesus is, he explains all that, and he says you must be perfect, and then he tells the account of the leper. So what he's saying is we cannot approach Jesus perfectly. We have to approach Jesus like this leper did. We all need cleansing like this leper did. So, and we see another way to approach the leper in Luke chapter 18. It's kind of a similar situation. The tax collector, you know, the tax collector and the Pharisee, says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you. I used to think this way for a little while. God, I thank you that I'm not like these other people, these swindlers, unjust adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I go to church twice a week or three times a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. So this is the way we approach Jesus. This is the way we come to Christ. A person understanding our condition, understanding that we're not righteous in ourselves. We cannot presume that God owes us anything, but we are unrighteous creatures. He owes us nothing, but we just are like the tax collector saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner. So when we come to Christ in that condition, what can we expect? Let's look at verse 41 and 42. What can we expect when we come to Christ? Verse 41, moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. You see, when we come to Christ in this state, not expecting, not presuming that God or Jesus owes us anything, but we come to Christ in this state, what can we really expect? We can expect this. What did Jesus say? Jesus, in answer to the lepers, he said, if you're willing, I know you can heal me. In response to that, Jesus says, I am willing, be healed. That is what we can expect when we come to Christ, seeing our condition and begging God to have mercy on us. When helpless sinners like us, when we're helpless sinners, we're slaves to sin, we're completely absorbed in sin, we're blind, we're even blinded to our condition. When we're awakened to our condition, awakened to the way that we are by the Holy Spirit, when we see ourselves the way that we really are, and turn to him like the leper turned to the tax collector, like the leper and the tax collector did, we can see his response. Jesus was moved to compassion. Jesus looks down on us. He knows we're helpless. When we call out to him to have mercy, he's moved to compassion. He moved. And imagine also that the leper, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Can you imagine how long it's been since this guy's been touched by another human being? He reached out his hand and touched him. At the beginning, you know, when he touched him, he healed him. So you can imagine he felt the touch of Jesus. For the first time, he's felt anything in years. So Jesus reached out and touched him and cleansed him. That's what we can expect when we come to Christ like this leper did. How do we react when we've been cleansed by Christ? So we come to him completely realizing the condition we're in. We're completely helpless. We beg God for mercy. And we can expect that he will cleanse us like this leper was cleansed. Well, how do we react? Let's go to verse 43 through 44. Now, this is what I always noticed about this text. Okay, this leper has been cleansed. He's been healed. And verse 43 says, and he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Okay, so Jesus gives him a stern warning. Okay, so Jesus warns him to, what's he warning him? It almost looks like, you know, we know that he doesn't obey the warning. Okay, we read all that already. So when you look at this, what was the warning? It was either, the stern warning was either what Jesus said in verse 44, You know, he warned him. Jesus completely loved the law. He told him in verse 44 to go and show himself to the priest, which is the ritual when the leprosy went away, you would go and be cleansed and offer a sacrifice for that cleansing. So he told him to go do that and told him not to talk about anyone, not to tell him anything about it. Or he could have sternly warned him like he did in John 5:14, another guy that he had healed, where he said, afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. So the problem you have is either he warned him, go, don't sin anymore, or he warned him, go to the priest and offer your sacrifice for your cleansing and don't tell anyone. But either way, we know that it doesn't really matter which one of those things it is. I still have not come to a conclusion on that. But either way, we see the reaction of the leper. He didn't obey exactly what Christ said to do. He left. And in verse 45 it says, but he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. So, did that leper obey? Did he obey? I mean, he didn't obey. Well, this has always driven me crazy. I mean, you're a leper. You're completely separated from the people. You've gone to Jesus, and he heals you. And he just tells you, just don't tell anybody and go to the priest. And what does he do? He goes out and tells everybody and spreads it around. So I always approach this from my standpoint. What would I have done in this situation? I always tend to want to look at it that way. We tend to do that with Scripture. But was this leper cleansed because Jesus saw that he was in the future going to be obedient? I mean, Jesus knew what he was going to do when he cleansed him. He didn't cleanse him thinking, okay, this guy's going to be really obedient, I'm going to cleanse him. This guy's not going to tell anybody, I'm going to cleanse him. So what's the deal? I mean, you know, he's cleansed from leprosy. Why didn't he just obey? Well, you'd have to ask him for that. I don't really know. But we're a lot like this guy. You know what? We are a lot like this guy. We come to Christ. We come and we ask him for mercy. Jesus reaches out and cleanses us. And we resemble this guy a lot, but we can rest in knowing that that's not what it's dependent on. It's not dependent upon our obedience. If it was dependent upon us being obedient, that we would be saved and cleansed and sanctified, we would really be in trouble. You know, we would be in trouble. And but this leper, I want you to notice one thing about this. I never really noticed this. I always think about it in the perspective of this guy didn't obey. But notice this leper. He was unclean under the law. He was made to live outside the gates. He was out in the wilderness. He was unable to approach anyone. Is now cleansed. He's completely cleansed. While his disobedience to the command of Jesus, so he's completely cleansed. He disobeyed the command of Jesus. Caused Jesus to no longer be able to publicly enter the city. See, he was outside the gates, completely unclean. He came to Jesus begging for mercy. Jesus touched him and cleansed him. And what happened? Jesus could no longer enter the cities. He switched places with this leper. You see what I'm saying? There's a picture of that in our salvation, how Jesus took the wrath, this leper pictured the wrath of God on him. Jesus took that wrath away, that wrath, that punishment for sin away from the leper. And then by doing that, the leper went out and started spreading, you know, started talking about it, and Jesus could no longer enter the city openly. So you see this transformation take place. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that is the gospel. That is the gospel. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, all powerful. He was able to speak the word, the world into existence. This is Jesus. This is God. He created the perfect law of God, became a man, though not a descendant of Adam, he was not a descendant of Adam, but he became fully man and fully God. He was begotten by the Father, not begotten by Adam, so he was not a descendant of Adam. He loved the law, and he kept it completely for us because we cannot, in our own condition, keep the law. He took our place in taking the curse of it, the wrath of God. He took the wrath of God upon himself. So we deserve the punishment for breaking the law. Jesus took the punishment in our place. We deserve death for it. Jesus took our death. We don't deserve life because we've not kept the law. Jesus gives us life. Jesus died. He absorbed the wrath of God for us, was buried, and rose again. He conquered death so that we can have life, and through his power to live and to live eternally. That's the gospel. Jesus came, died in our place. He was buried. He rose again, conquered death, gives us life. So what do we do with that? What do we do with that now? You know, I always have looked at, I'm not going too long. I think a lot of us, have you ever approached the gospel like you were talking about in the park, those guys going out in the park? I think American Christians, we've been around Christianity for so long, we look at the gospel as something that we tell somebody once and we convince them to make a decision, and that's the end of it. I think that's the way we approach it a lot. We convince, you know, John has talked about going to these evangelism classes where you have these tricks and you know, there's certain ways you say stuff to convince people to make a decision. We look at it that way. So we look at the gospel like it's something that we use to get people to think, like to get people to be in church with us. You know, it's something we get them to come into the church. So it's something that we get the gospel and we get past it. And then we look at it like we're living our life then trying to figure out how to obey Jesus. You know, what things do we do to make Jesus happy? But really, the gospel is it. The gospel, instead of the gospel being some kind of, you know, like a wall that we try to get people to get over it and get into the pool with us, the gospel is the water in the pool. The gospel is the power. The gospel gives us the power to do all the things that we do. And the gospel is what makes us live. It's what gives us life. You know, when you get up in the morning as a believer, you know, a lot of times, you can get up in the morning and you think, oh, man, I really messed up yesterday. I disappointed God yesterday. And you get up in the morning and pray, God, I want to make you happy. I want to please you today. But really, the gospel is that we get up in the morning and say, God, I'm like that leper. You know, I'm completely like that leper. I don't deserve anything. But you came and you touched me and you cleansed me and you healed me. You came and lived the life that I can't, so that I might live and not have death. If we get up in the morning thinking that way, you get up in the morning and think through your day like that, that's what empowers us. That's what gives us a desire to help people like in Guatemala. It's not that we're wanting to go down to these people, or even people around here that are on methamphetamines and people that don't have food, you know, and the people that we serve. The reason we do that is not because they're outside the church and we're trying to get them in. The reason we do it is we realize that we're just like them. There's no difference. You know, the worst drug dealer that you're around, or just anybody you can imagine, the worst sinner out there, there's no difference between us and them other than that we have seen where we're at, and we realize that. And Christ has actually died for us. He's actually taken the punishment that we deserve, but we are like them. There's no difference. So when we rest in that, whenever we get up in the morning and we think, I'm a sinner, I don't deserve anything, but you, God, have shown me mercy. I'm going to live my life like that. Nothing else matters. I was a leper. I was dead, and now I'm alive. What difference does all that other stuff make? You see what I'm saying? That's the way we live. So believers, I just encourage you when you wake up in the morning to think that way tomorrow. Think about where your standing is. Think about why you are where you are. Think about what Christ has done and live out of that. Let that flow out of you. And if you've never accepted Christ, you've never thought about these things, or you never thought about your condition, I encourage you just to call out to God like this leper. Ask God to cleanse you. Trust in what Christ has done. Trust in the life that he lived and the life that he died. the life that we deserve, or the death that we deserve to die. Think about that. Think about the sacrifice he did, and just trust completely in that. Call out to God like the tax collector and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your gospel. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, I just pray that you would take these the words that I've said and the scripture this morning, Lord. I just pray that you would somehow make it understandable to someone here. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to see every day that our standing is not based on anything that we've done. It's based on all that you have done for us. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to trust in that and live our lives out of that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.